Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aavas Financiers Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. Standard disclaimer, this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sushil Agarwal, MD and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. You are participating on the earnings call to discuss the performance of our company for Q1 FY23. With me, I have Mr. Ghanshyam Rawat, CFO, Himanshu Agrawal, Investor Relations team, and other senior member of the management team, and SGA, our investor relations advisor. The results and presentations are available on the stock exchange as well as our company website, and I hope everyone has had a chance to look at it. I am happy to inform you that during the quarter, the company's long-term credit rating was upgraded from AA- positive outlook to AA stable by ICRA. I take this opportunity to thank you all, our stakeholders, for their continued trust and support. During the quarter, RBI raised the repo rate by 40 basis points in an off-cycle meet on 4th May 2022, followed by another 50 basis point hike in the scheduled meet on 8th June 2022. Consequently, all the financial institutions started hiking their lending rates with varying amount. We have also increased our prime lending rate by 25 basis points with effect from 5th June 2022, and further announced hike of 50 basis point with effect from 5th of August 2022. For Q1 FY23, we disbursed 10,936 million, registering a 136% year-on-year growth and achieving 85% of the disbursement done in seasonally strong Q4 last year. We continue to grow in a calibrated manner and registered a AUM growth of 24% year-on-year as of June 2022, while maintaining our operating metrics and delivered a PAT growth of 49% year-on-year for Q1 FY23. With our continued focus on collection, 1+ DPD stood at 4.67% and 90-day past due stood at 0.82% in June 2022, but we have categorized 0.26% of up to 90 days asset as GNPA following RBI's notification dated 12th November 2021 to harmonize IRACP norms across all lending institutions. As a result, the total gross NPA stood at stage three stood at 1.08% in June 2022. We will continue our strategy of controlling the early delinquencies and strive to maintain 1-day past due below 5% and 90-day past due below 1%. I would now hand over the line to Ghanshyam ji to discuss various business parameters in detail.
Thank you, Sushil ji. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to our earnings call. During the year, company borrowed an incremental amount of rupees 8,984 million at 5.65%. As of June 2022, our average cost of borrowing stood at 6.86% on an outstanding amount of rupees 104.76 billion. During the quarter, our long-term credit rating was upgraded by ICRA from AA- positive outlook to AA stable outlook, while CARE continued to maintain long-term credit rating of AA- with positive outlook. Despite the highest short-term rating of A1+, we continue to maintain zero exposure to commercial paper as a prudent borrowing practice. I'll get to Ind AS. Reconciliation has been explained in detail for profit after tax and net worth on slide number 31 and 33 of the presentation. Other key parameters. As on 30th June 2022, total number of live account stood at 1,58,979. That is 23% year-on-year growth. Total number of branches was 318. 34 new branches added in last 12 months. Employee count 5389. Year-on-year growth is 22%. Total assets under management grew 24% year-on-year basis to ₹118.94 billion. Product-wise breakup. Home loan 71.1%, other mortgage loan 28.9%. Occupation-wise breakup, salaried 39.9%, self-employed 60.1%. Disbursements has increased by 136% year-on-year to ₹10,936 million for quarter 1 FY23. As on 30th June 2022, average borrowing cost of 6.86 against an average portfolio yield of 12.67% resulted in a spread at 5.81%. Borrowings. Access to diversified and cost-effective long-term financing. A strong relationship with the development financial institutions. Overall borrowing mix as on 30th June 2022 is 38.8% from term loan. 22.5% from assignments and securitization, 22.9% from National Housing Bank, and 15.8% other debt capital market instruments. Assets quality and provisioning. One day past due stood at 4.67%, gross stage 3 stood at 1.08%, and net stage 3 stood at 0.84% as on 30th June. Gross stage 3 of 1.08 include 0.26% up to 90-day DPD assets which have been categorized as a GNP following RBI notification dated 12th November 2021. During FY22, resolution plan was implemented for certain borrower accounts as per RBI resolution framework 20 dated 5th May 2021. Some of such accounts with an outstanding amount of rupees 1,111.5 million as on 30th June 2022 have been classified as a stage 2 and provided as per the regulatory guideline. Total ECL provision include that for COVID-19 impact as well as resolution framework 20 stood at 646.8 million rupees as on 30th June 2022. Liquidity of rupees 22,910 million as on 30th June 2022. Cash and cash equivalent of rupees 14,600 million. Unavailed CC limit of rupees 1100 million. Documented unavailed sanction from other banks of rupees 7,210 million. Profitability. PAT increased by 49% year on year to rupees 892 million for 3 month FY23. ROA was 3.2% and ROE was 12.5% for Q1 FY23. As on 30th June 22, we are well capitalized with a net worth of rupees 29,050 million. Our book value per share stood at 367.9 rupees. Now by this, I open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use the handset while asking a question. We have the first question from the line of Karthik Chellappa from Buena Vista Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity, sir, and congrats on the quarter. I have three questions. The first is, if we look at our NIM for the first quarter compared to the exit in FY22, it's actually come off quite a bit despite the spread being stable. How do we reconcile that?
Yeah, Karthik, you can ask all the three questions, we will reply, yeah.
Okay, great. The second question then, sir, is the one on slide 29. If I look at the reversal income on earlier assigned loans, that is up almost 38% year on year in the first quarter of this year. Could you clarify what that relates to and why is the growth so strong in that reversal income? And my last question, sir, is again on slide 25, where you have given your liquidity position. I noticed that the principal collections and surplus from operation estimate that you have in first quarter FY24 is actually lower than the second quarter of this year and meaningfully lower than the fourth quarter of FY23. I'm just wondering why that is the case. These are my three questions, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Karthik. I think NIM generally, if you see in the trend of last few quarters, few years also, first quarter generally NIM remain little low. Then it is start to mop up in the quarter two and quarter three as disbursement improve, as AUM also start to improve in that category. Apart from that, I think there is nothing much difference on account of anything in the NIP because spread is very much stable. And secondly, obviously capital utilization is also increasing gradually, which is also have some basis point impact on the NIM. But overall, I think NIM is on the right trajectory. Reversal basically, as I explained in earlier few calls also, as we are doing assignment every year around 700 to 800 to 900 crore rupees, depending upon the business, depending on the demand in the market. If we do one assignment, overall assignment book get increased. So reversal is also getting, will increase every year, every quarter. As we progress, as AUM increase, as O book quantum is also increased basically. Because when we do assignment, income get booked, then it get reversed in the coming years basically. So that the steady state reversal will happen in that as the volume will increase, it will also increase basically. Slide 25.
So Karthik, in this principal collection and surplus from operation, so profit is also included. So Q1 profit is normally less and Q4 profit will be high. That's the reason.
I see. Okay. Sir, as far as this reversal is concerned, this reversal of assignment income, this has nothing to do with, let's say, some of your loans either became BT out after being assigned and hence you have to reverse it. That it's nothing to do with that. This is just normal process of reversal, is it?
Yes, normal process. Once the income gets recognized, when we do assignment, average life of contract, the income gets reversed because we adopt the behavioral life. So we give the loan, let's say contract for life is 14 to 15 years, income get recognized for 6 to 7 years, it get reversed between 6 to 7 years also.
Got it. And can you just share the BT out for the quarter, sir? That's all from my
side. BT out is again, I think, steady state basis. I think we are observing in last few quarters also. And in, half percent of opening AUM per month basis.
Karthik, for the quarter it is 1.58%.
So, sorry, 1.5% of opening AUM, right?
Yeah.
Which is basically 6% annualized. Okay. Yeah. Okay, got it. That's all from my side, sir. Wish you and the team all the very best for the remaining quarters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations on a good quarter. Sir, I just wanted to understand, I mean, how should we kind of think about our operating expenses? They continue to remain elevated If you could just give some more granular color on, I mean, what is leading to this kind of higher operating expenses? Understandably, you have suggested in the past that, you have onboarded employees, you have given out increments. I'm sure for FY23, again, you would have effective increments from April or May onwards. But are there also components of investments in technology, infrastructure that you are doing, which are more in terms of capital investments and one-off in nature, and which can kind of might not repeat in the kind of coming quarters? So that's the first question then kind of that I wanted to understand. The other thing is, understandably, you are making a lot of investments, and which is why perhaps the operating expenses are elevated. But when can it kind of start leading to a higher momentum in disbursements? And so lastly, on the asset quality side, there has been a kind of sequential deterioration, especially in the greater than 90 DPD bucket. If I kind of look at the other HFCs, or if I look at the broader narrative today in the HFC space, everyone's kind of talking about an improvement in asset quality. And this despite the fact that we have grown our AUM by about 5% on a QOQ basis. So, is there a way to kind of explain this divergence that we have seen in this quarter? Thank you so much.
Yeah. So, on this OPEX side, we have already given the statement in last quarter also that we are a going concern organization. We need to keep on investing on for future distribution, technology, and other capex. And during current 12 to 18 months time, we are taking a large technology investment infrastructure cost. And in the past, anyway, we have also invested in distribution. So we clearly told that this year will be our OPEX will be in the same range, but going forward, then 20 to 25 basis point, 30 basis point incremental reduction in OPEX, we can assume for next 3 to 5 years. On the disbursement side, yes, we have invested in capacity, and that's where you can see we are almost 350 to 400 crore rupees per month business line. So whatever capacity we have invested, that is giving the results. And we always say we will grow our AUM 20 to 25%, so we are in the right trajectory as per our plan. Third is NPA. Normally we always say that one day past due will be less than 5%. We will attempt that, and NPA around 1%. So if you will see, we are in the trajectory which we have defined. 10 basis points here and there, it will always be there. Normally Q1s are always 10 to 15 basis points elevated than the Q4. And on this side, I think we are much more confident on asset quality at this point of time. This quarter, from restructured book, around 16 crore rupees shifted to Q3. But that was anticipated, so no issues on that side.
Thank you, sir. And sir, if I could just squeeze in one last question here. Even kind of excluding the reversal that we see on the earlier assigned pool, if I just strictly look at the interest income on loans and kind of try to calculate your core lending needs, interest income that you make on loans, even there, we are kind of seeing some kind of a sequential deterioration. So is there a way to, explain that, given that, last quarter it was about 310 crores, this time it is 320 crores, increasing on an absolute basis. But if I kind of calculate the yield, it is declining from 14% to about 13.6%. And I'm assuming, given that, borrowing costs have started going up, you would have taken some maybe interest rate increase, maybe in the month of May or June in the last quarter. And despite that, there has been a moderation in the lending yields.
Abhijit, explain this. Abhijit, which slide you are referring? Because Q1 and Q4 interest absolute income is on increasing trend.
So the interest income on loans?
Yeah.
All right, sir, no problem. I think maybe I'll kind of take this online. Thank you so much for patiently answering my question.
Yes.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kunal Shah from ISEC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Sushilji. Hi, Ganeshji. Yeah. Firstly, on this disbursement run rate, in first quarter itself, we are almost 350, 370 odd crores. So how should we see it? In fact, we are investing a lot as well. And incrementally, we have seen branch expansion in Rajasthan, Maharashtra, and Gujarat, our core market. So how should we overall look at the growth? And are we confident that instead of 2025 now, we would be more near to 25 and above, okay, rather than being in 20 over past several quarters? Yeah.
So, Kunal, the way we always describe that on the sales side, we always keep around 40 to 50%. Buffer capacity and other department side 15 to 20%, and if competition doesn't come, we overperform our number, and if in the difficult scenarios also we continue our consistent number, so which we have demonstrated even in COVID-1, COVID-2, even during that difficult time we were able to give 21% CAGR growth. And now the COVID is passed behind. I hope so we will be able to deliver better number on that side.
Okay. But overall, in terms of the guidance, if you have to look at it, could it be more towards 25% now? We have already been more than 23. And I think first quarter is the best.
Yeah, 20-25%, we always say we will... We have capacity to deliver more, and this quarter also some of the subsidy component is there, otherwise the growth is 24-25%. So that will be there. We will, like you have already said, 370 to 380 crore rupees per month run rate. So even if we take 400 crore rupees per month run rate, disbursement number should be around that range, and that will translate into, I think, 23, 24, or maybe 25% growth for this year.
Sure. And secondly, I'm not sure if you have touched upon this, but overall, in terms of the rate hikes, earlier I think we have been slow in terms of passing it on, but now what would be the stance in terms of the increase in the rates going forward? And looking at our profile, okay, wherein there is some component which, when we look at it in terms of the fixed rate, that's also like almost 5,500 crores is like the fixed rate on the asset side. So how should we look at it in terms of the margin? So in fact, the floating would only get repriced and fixed would really take time to get repriced, yeah.
So Kunal, if you will see our liability profile, slide number 20, 23. Our floating and fixed rate borrowing versus floating and fixed rate lending, both are almost in sync. So we have 40% fixed rate borrowing, 40% fixed rate lending, and we have 60% floating rate lending, and the fund is in tune with that. And we have done 25 basis point increase in last quarter, and from 5th of August we have also announced 50 basis point increase in our PLR rate. And this is an ALCO decision. Every quarter we have discussions and ALCO committee meetings. We see the next 2 to 3 quarter situation of borrowing rate and how it will impact, and accordingly we take the decision. But at this point of time, if you will see, this quarter also we were able to maintain our spread, and I hope so next 2 quarters with this hike we will be able to maintain our spread. On that fixed and floating rate side, I think we are perfectly matched on ALM.
Sure. So 50 dips from August, and that will be having an impact on the
five floating. Yeah, 50 basis point.
Yeah. And this floating, how does it get reset?
Reset means like 5th of August we will reset. So from 5th of August it's
So this is a 1 month, 3 months kind of a period, not to reset or?
No, no. So like in this ALCO, we have decided, and from 5th of August, which is our installment cycle, we will implement it.
Okay. So right from 5th of August, on the entire back book, this will get reset.
Yeah.
Okay. And overall, maybe our stance in terms of earlier, we have been highlighting that at this time the rising interest rate, we will slightly go slow in terms of hiking the rates and try to pass on some benefit to the customers. But I think overall borrowing cost would have also gone up to a similar extent. So broadly, then we should be comfortable maintaining the spreads and the margins. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Spreads are stable, and the next 2-3 quarters we are seeing that it will remain stable in that range.
Okay, sure, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shripal Doshi from Icarus. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity.
Mr. Shripal, would request you to kindly come a little closer to the mic. We are unable to hear you much.
Now, am I audible?
This is much better. Come a little more closer to the mic.
Yeah, sure. So, sir, wanted to understand how are the approval rates or the login rates, login to approval rates in the newer states that we have entered versus the same in the vintage states that we are present in. So from the cases from the applications that we receive, what percentage would actually get locked in and what percentage would actually be approved? So just wanted to understand this trend for our vintage states and for our newer states.
So normally at company level, number of cases wise, we source 13 to 15,000 cases and 5,000 gets approved and disbursed. On amount-wise, we are sourcing almost around 1,600 crore rupees per month, and disbursements are 375 crore rupees per month. Normally, in new states, when we go first 30 months, we go slow because it takes time to understand the local nuances, cash flow patterns, seasonality, things which impact our mortgage and other things. So in new states, first 30 months, we go slow. So might be a little bit less sanctioned percentage in those states in the early time, because focus is that first 30 months there should not be any 30 plus. And if you see last 4 and 5 states where we have entered in last 4-5 years, we were able to see this getting successful. And once we become comfortable understanding the local businesses, income patterns, seasonality, how judiciary works, how the other market works, and then we go for a normal business kind of stride in the new market. So maybe 5-6% less than the mature market in the sanction rate or new disbursement rate.
Got it. So sir, basically fair to say that 35% would be the approval rate in the mature states and probably 28%. Okay. Second question was with risk asset quality. So I think somebody else also touched upon this question. So if we look at the 3B stage bucket, which is actually the more than 90 DPD bucket, so there is increase. So what explains that increase?
So if you will say we have a restructured book of around 100 crore rupees, which is in stage 2. Out of that, around 16 crore rupees has slipped to stage 3. And so that's where, but I think we always say this 1% of NPA, absolute term, it's 82 basis point with new guidelines because we implemented last November itself. It is around 1.1%. And in first quarter, if you are marking them NPA, because so in next 3 quarters you are able to resolve it within a year's time. So that helps us maintaining the asset quality over a period of time. So from restructure book shifting to stage 3, that is the reason for this quarter's increase. but we are comfortable with around 1% kind of NPA overall on the book side, and one day past due less than 5%.
Okay, got it, got it. So the last question was with respect to the borrowing, so on the liability side. So the bank borrowings that we have, that would be linked to the MCLR. So if you could give some color on what percentage would be linked to 1 month, 3 month sort of MCLR?
No, if you see total bank borrowing is around, we mentioned around less than 40% we are from banking systems, and 90% plus book is linked with a 1 year MCLR.
1 year MCLR?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much and good luck for the next quarter, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nishin Chawate from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just one question from my side. And this is on your incremental borrowings cost. I believe last quarter it was around 6.04%. And this quarter it has gone down to 5.65%. So I wanted to check, first of all, if this is accurate and what would be the reason for the same.
Yeah, I think both numbers are accurate. Obviously, in both the quarters, we have borrowed good money from National Housing Bank also. And there are certain deals we negotiated earlier period also, which got disbursed in this quarter. That's why we see good price around 1,000 crore rupees borrowed new at a very good rate during this year also. But there is no harm to assume that interest rate is in a rising trend. Banks are increasing their MCLR also, capital market rates also increasing. So going forward, our cost of borrowing will also have an impact of rising interest rate scenario.
Just to put the same question differently. If you now go to a bank or when you now get a quote from a bank, for loans versus, what you got around 3 months back, how much is the difference in rate of interest?
If the difference is the same, whatever 1 year MCLR got increased, earlier we also borrowed at 1 year MCLR. Right now, again, we are borrowing at a 1 year MCLR. Both the time is the same rate.
No difference on the terms, right, in terms of fees or MCLR?
Yes. No.
Sure. And incrementally, what is the plan this year? You'll be probably doing more of NCDs or, borrowing more to, link to repo, or how does the borrowing plan for this year differ than compared to last year?
As you know, market is very dynamic in the last one quarter. As we are observing that market is again dynamic because interest rates are hiked by Fed and recently again hiked by RBI, and I think again meeting is there from the RBI on the interest rate. So it's difficult to comment on that, where we will focus. It will depend upon how market reacts. But obviously we have a very huge strength with the bank's relationship. We generally borrow very, very large rates, very large tenor we borrow. So all large bearing banks, already we got a few sanctions where with small tranche we are taking from them and locking our rate for coming few quarters. So majorly will depend upon the bank side, and we don't see any major change in whatever mix we are seeing today.
And just one more question is, when interest rates go up, have you seen in the past typical borrower behavior where he'll come in and probably prepay a loan?
So, listen, right now there are no signs. In the past also, that was not the sign. We are anyway closely monitor the situation. If anything changes on that side, we will come back to you. But at this point of time, there is no sign on that side.
Perfect. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nidesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, on the fixed rate loans, are they end-to-end fixed rate? For the full tenure, they are fixed on the asset side?
So, Nidesh, they are 3 years fixed, though all borrowings are full tenure fixed loans. But on the lending side, we have a clause where we can reset every 3 years.
Sure. Secondly, on the MSME book which we are building, we have seen good traction there. So can you share some more details in terms of ticket size? What is the collateral behind these loans? What are the yields on these loans?
So it's the same business owner requires the loan for the business purpose. Average ticket size is somewhere around 8 to 10 lakh rupees. Tenure is normally up to 7 years and yields are up to 15%.
And secured
by SORP, self-occupied residential property.
Okay. So it's most like a LAP sort of loan.
But in the LAP, it can be used for personal use also. The tenure is 10 to 15 years. Here it's the only business use and tenure is almost up to 7 years.
Understood. Thirdly, sir, do we source any loan from DSAs? Or it's completely in sourcing from our own employees, which we do.
So, of the total business, 98.9% business is through direct team, and 1.1% business is through LP connector, DSA, etc.
Okay. And lastly, can you share the incremental yields on home loan and bank book, home loan and non-home loan book?
So it remains normally the same in the past track record, just give me 1 minute.
12.67.
What is quarter?
12.67 overall.
For this quarter.
And home loan is around 11.6 and non-home loan is 14%.
Sure, thank you. That's enough for my part.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Saket Chheda from BNK. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Sir, just wanted to ask that in terms of asset resolution, so apart from Safezi, which are the adult tools that we use, or have we done any sale to ARC in recent quarters?
So, in the collection, there are five stages. One is the X bucket, which is first current month bouncing. There we use call center and mostly digital mode of payment collection from the customer. Then it comes the bucket 1 to 30 and plus. So 1 to 30 we do use call center plus field collection team and mostly mode of payment is digital. From 30 to 90 bucket we use field collection team along with we use section 138 proceedings. And after 90 DPD case, it's a field team and surface proceeding. So these are the normal steps of our collections.
So have we done any sale to ARC maybe apart from this?
Sorry?
Sale to ARC models?
No. So in last 2016 we did.
No sale.
Okay, sir. Sure, sir. And sir, the second question was on say employee per branch and maybe AUM per branch and AUM per employee metric. Now we have seen that since last 4-5 years, our AUM per employee and AUM per branch has almost remained stagnant. So AUM per employee is around 2.5 crores and AUM per branch has been between 30-35 crores. So that metric has not moved much in last 3-4 years. So where do we see it moving going ahead? Do we see the operating efficiency coming in, or are these metrics that are looked upon by you?
Yeah. So normally it will see the basic nature of our business. 100% sourcing is through in-house team. Then ticket size is 8 to 10 lakh rupees. Then we are working in tier 2 to tier 5 basically. And every year we are opening 30 to 40 new branches. And then branches are also classified into A to E category depending on the town potential. since all the metrics remain same, this is there, and I hope so next 2 to 3 years this trajectory will remain in that side, because we are increasingly increase our distribution network of branches also.
So the initial 1-2 years is okay when we are adding a new branches, we have certain set of branches, but over the period of time, maybe 5-7 years, that becomes a part of the business as routine, wherein the back book or the back branches should at least start displaying higher efficiency, right?
Yeah, so you are rightly said, but like our 85% of the branches are C and D category, which are tier 3, tier 4, tier 5. And normally, most of our branches become P and ROE positive in 12 months' time. And in those towns, we are doing consistent business. So say if a town is doing 1 crore rupees business within first 12 months, it continues to doing 1 crore, 1.25, but it will not reach 2 crore, 3 crore, and that's not the expectation from our side also. So that's the, so we see the metrics like whether branches are ROE positive in first 12 months or not, whether the branches OPEX are met by the fee income from those branches or not. So those are the critical things we are seeing when the branch operating or unit economics are coming into the picture.
Okay. And so the 1% you said you source it through DSA, is it incrementally also, or it's a similar split between in-house and DSA?
No, so that includes LP also, Avas Mitra, DSA, maybe some bit of it. So we will mostly remain in-house sourcing model next 3 to 5 years.
Okay, so and lastly, we had a CBO change recently, right? And now Mr. Siddha Srivastava has come in. So any reasons why Mr. Ram left, and any light you can throw on the new CBA?
Yeah, so as you know, we are a organization which has a very robust employee organization. We have layer 1, layer 2, layer 3, layer 4, and we have a very strong management team. But yes, Ram has helped us in last 7 years journey, and we have thanked for his contribution. Organization remains the same, and now Siddharth has joined. Siddharth has 22 years of experience out of his 20 years around in ICICI Bank. He has seen most of the other products. Below Siddharth, we have almost 40 people leadership team in place, which is more or less same. So that will be there in all the organizations.
Sure, those were all my questions. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nitin Kothari from Antara Cap. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, thank you so much for taking my call. So I have 3 questions. So currently we are doing ROE of 14%. So what are the factors that would lead to ROE expansion, and what is the long to medium term ROE guidance? So, and the second one is, we are doing NIMs of around 8%. So are the NIMs sustainable over longer term, given that opening up of market would lead to higher competitiveness? And can you give us a breakup of other mortgage loan, like how much is LAP and how much is SME?
Yeah, so I will go by the third question. So in incremental non-housing loan book, we have almost 40% MSME and 60% non-MSME like LAP and other loans. Coming back to NIMs, normally, Nitin, we work on spread, and we try to maintain 5% spread. When we started our journey, we said that though in last 12 years we are able to maintain 5% spread, but at scale or size, there might be a chance that we might not be able to maintain 5% spread. But quarter on quarter, right now we are able to maintain because of the support, rating upgrade continuously, and the segment which we focus. But we always say that even if there will be contraction in spread, we will be able to sustain our ROA more than 2.5%, or if we are leveraged less, ROA can be more on that side. And we can bring those efficiencies in our OPEX cycle. If you see pre-COVID, we were able to reduce our OPEX 20-30 basis point year-on-year basis. During COVID, it remains stable and increased. Now, we are in investment phase in technology, etc. So for first 12 to 18 months, this will look at the same level. But again, next 3 to 5 years, we will be in a position to reduce our OPEX by 20-30 basis point year-on-year basis. So that's the trajectory will be for the spread and ROA. ROA, we see this is a ROA and leverage output. So if ROA remains around 2.5 to 3% and leverage increase over a period of time, I think ROA will improve in a sustainable growth manner in next 2 to 5 years.
Okay, understood. So are we looking to venture into some other fee-based income products to improve our ROE?
No, Nitin. Right now, we don't have any aspirations towards that side. We think the market in which we are, there is huge potential for growth in the next 10 to 15 years, 20 to 25% kind of growth. And with that growth rate, anyway, every three and a half years, you are doubling your book. So at this point of time, we are not seeing any fee-based product for in the business.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir. That was helpful.
Thank you.
Karthik,
we have
13,300 disbursement. Last quarter.
We have the next question on the line.
Oh, AUM ka number is.
Please go ahead. Mr. Piran Engineer, can you hear us?
Yeah, hello.
Yes, please go ahead with the question.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So just a couple of clarifications. In June, we hiked our yields by 50 bps and now another 50 bps in August. Is that correct?
No, so in June, we hiked the PLR by 25 basis point, and from 5th of August, another 50 basis point hike.
The NHB borrowings of 1,000 crores, this is over, like, over the last 1 year we've borrowed, and these are at floating rates or fixed rates?
No, so NHB borrowing first is not 1,000 crores this quarter or over a period of a year, but NHB borrowing is comprising of different kind of instruments. Some of them are fixed, some of them are floating, some of them are at lower interest rates, some of them are G-Sec linked. So there is a combination of borrowing depending on your lending pattern and organization's rating and other standards. Nitinjan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just to confirm, the yield of 12.67 and cost of funds of 6.86, that is as of July 1st, right? That is how you all report.
Yes, yes. It's a contractual date on the, you can take 1st of July.
Yeah, okay, got it. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Bhavya Sanghvi from Fortress Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I had two questions. I wanted your view on the competition. So we've seen large organizations with, almost AAA or AA kind of rating profiles entering this business line. So can you, give us your sense on the competition? And second question was on the credit rating upgrade. So congratulations on that. Can you tell us what is the incremental benefit that you would get because of this rating upgrade? Thank you.
Yeah, so on the competition landscape, the areas and geographies where we work, I think housing loan penetration vis-a-vis number of families living there are almost average less than 5%. Some market is 2-3%, some market is 9-10%. And that market has huge potential. So even if large players will come there, everybody can sustainably grow for next 10 years with 20-25% kind of growth. So we don't see a large threat on that side, but those markets require a specific kind of knowledge for which we have created our niche over a period of last 12 years. And with the use of technology and the kind of niche we have created, we are hopeful that we will be able to maintain our strength in those markets. And with the use of technology, we are improving customer experience. That will also further help us strengthening our position in those markets vis-a-vis competition.
Got it, sir. But, you know, sometimes the cost differential that the larger organizations would have, wouldn't, you know, that play a part in your sense?
So now with the larger player and our cost of borrowing, I think there is not much of a difference, more than 25 to 50 basis points. So we are more competitive in those geographies, I think.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thanks for the insights.
Thank you. That was the last question. I now hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you all for attending the call. For any further information, we request you to get in touch with Himanshu, our investor relationship team, or SGA, our investor relationship advisor. They would be happy to help you. Thank you for coming on the call and giving us opportunity to showcase the company and clarifying the doubts or the questions which the audience has. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Aavas Finances Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.